Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to another exciting week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everyone. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
Can you hear me out of the mic there?
I can totally hear you.
All right, good times. So this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, and we talk about video games. If you want to call us, you can give us a shout, I guess, by phone at 866-536-1100. If you're listening live, of course, if you're listening on your podcast, your iPod, your Zune, whatever, don't call because you'll get some other radio show going on at the time here at KFNX. Now, we got a lot to talk about.
Excuse me, Alon, that's KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
You're absolutely right. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. So, we got a lot to talk about. Usually we start by saying what we've been playing lately, and you've got quite a few.
I am so fired up today. I'm ready to start bitching about so many games, you can't even believe it.
All right, well, I got something to talk about too, but you, by all means, please, you have the floor.
All right, so I played a few games over this past weekend.
Just a few?
Just a few, and that was enough. And you'll see shortly why it was enough. You ever heard of a game called Dungeon Explorer?
Yes. It's quite an old game.
Classic game. It came out like during the TurboGrafx days. Right? It was originally on TurboGrafx, then there was Dungeon Explorer 2.
Are there four classes of people? There's like a wizard,
no,
fighter.
That's Gauntlet.
No, but I mean,
I think concept. Dungeon Explorer 2, I mean, really, it was a Gauntlet knockoff, yeah.
But side-scrolling?
And no side-scrolling. Just okay. Top view, total rip-off of Gauntlet. By the way, that's one of the best things to knock off if you're going to knock off something. I mean, it was a pretty good game. I think they actually had, at least in number two, they had more classes than just the regular Gauntlet thing. And it was more like RPG-ish, which was really cool. Anyway, so there's a remake of the game that came out on PSP. And I think in like a couple other platforms. I think maybe the DS as well.
Is this like a spiritual remake or the actual?
Yeah, it's pretty spiritual. And, you know, I started playing it, and the first thing that I noticed is, oh my god, my character is half of the height of the screen.
But it's top down.
And, yes, isn't that interesting? So it's kind of like an isometric view, but it's basically like top view for all practical purposes.
Okay.
And this was the moment that I realized, wow, sometimes widescreen is really, really bad. I felt like I was playing China Warrior. You ever played that game?
No.
China Warrior was this game that came out on the TurboGrafx where basically the guy on the screen was so huge you could hardly see anything except him. Okay? This was back in the day when they like realized, oh, look, we can make the guy really huge. And then, oh, wow, this is really bad for a game because you can't see anything.
Well, actually, it was really difficult to get large characters back in the day.
Right. Well,
the sprites could only be so big.
Right. But that was like that whole like that little technological leap was like, oh, we can now make them so big. Right.
Okay.
And so like it quickly everybody realized this is a horrible idea. Right. And then they stopped doing that. But I guess that has come back somehow. And it's just absolutely insane. I mean, they have like monster generators. Right. Like the generators in Gauntlet, except now they're like almost the size of the screen. They're like four times as big as your character, which is about half the size of the screen as it is. And you can't see anything. You can't see what you're doing. And so I was just like, okay, I gave that game about 5 minutes. All right, sending it back to Gamefly for my next horrible game that I'm going to try out.
Someone in the forum, Emma Cooley, says the DS Dungeon Explorer is a lot better.
I bet it is a lot better. It's probably because the screen proportion is closer to square.
Probably. What do I know?
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet.
Okay, so here's another thing I have to complain about. Ace Combat 6, I finally procured for myself.
Hasn't this game been out forever?
Yeah, it's been out. As you may know, I'm a big Ace Combat fan.
Did you get the controller?
No. I don't need any special controller for that kind of thing.
Okay.
I've actually always preferred just the regular PS2 controller for that series of games. Of course, now it's on the 360. So you have to play it on the 360 controller, which is less than optimal, especially since you've been trained for years on the old PS2 one.
Too bad you can't use the one from Steel Battalion.
Yeah, that would be even worse. Anyway, I digress. The thing that really, really dawned on me with this game, right, is there's a few things that they're trying to do that's like so transparent, it's not even funny. The first thing is that they're, with each new iteration of this game, they try and make the narrative more and more in-depth, right? Like Ace Combat, the first few, there was like, you know, there wasn't really much of a story. It's like, oh, here's some bad guys. You have to defeat them, and here's your mission, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so that went on to about, like, number four, and then they're like, oh, we can do narrative. Let's do some narrative, right? So now in, like, Ace Combat 5 and 6 and 7, and a little bit in 4, there was a lot more narrative, and it was all story-based. And now, so, like, when you're flying around, there's people talking to each other, and there's radio chatter, and there's stories happening while you're playing the mission, and all that stuff. And the thing that I noticed is that,
okay. Can I just tell you, if we could play sound effects right now, I'd have the Star Fox sound effect going, do a barrel roll. But
yeah, it was
since I don't have the sound
much
effects.
Much cooler than that, I think. But anyway.
It would be a funny insert.
Yeah. The funny thing is that the game seems to get better and better, while the narrative just gets worse and worse. This is. You ever watch a movie where...
Never seen a movie, no.
Listen, there's more to this. You ever watch a movie where there's like, instead of just like kind of giving you hints about what happens... There's some character that is basically, like, narrating the whole thing literally and spoiling everything, like, leaving nothing to your intellect or imagination or your figuring out abilities, right? Like, there's this little girl in the game, right? There's like, a mom and her, like, her daughter, and she's, like, married to some kind of fighter pilot, and the fighter pilot dies, and her country's being invaded. Anyway, the little girl has, like, this catchphrase she always says, right? So... The mom actually, after like the invasion, she's like in some kind of like, she's a refugee somewhere in some kind of like outpost, and she hears a little girl's voice over the radio, right? And the girl says the catchphrase, right? So hearing her voice, not obvious enough. Saying the catchphrase that you've been trained to recognize, not obvious enough. Then she's got to go into a monologue explaining how she heard her own daughter. It's like, do we really have to spell it out? I mean, like, how stupid are we?
Maybe they just don't have a lot of good writers.
Horrible. Horrible. Absolutely bad. One other thing real quick about that.
Okay.
Is that I can totally envision this design meeting happening before they made this game where they're like, wow, now we have the technology to put 300 planes in a battle in a swarm around you. So we're going to do this as much as possible. And that's exactly what happens. I've gotten only to about the fourth mission now. And every single mission is just a morass of fighters everywhere. You can't tell your right from your left. You can't tell what's going on. Your targets are changing all of a sudden. There's like 50 fighters all around you all the time. Like, okay, you know what? Like for like an impact, like a first impression, that's a kind of like a cool thing to show the player. Like, oh, look, we can do this, right? But so far, it's just been that's all I'm seeing. Like no control whatsoever. It's utter chaos.
So you're saying you just shoot everywhere, basically.
You just shoot. I mean, it's like I can totally see them in this meeting just being like, now we're going to really like, you know, give the player this feeling of, like, this epic battle. It's like, if you have the epic battle every single time over and over,
but
it
dude,
kind of
that's,
loses its epicness.
That's Zazz.
Yeah.
They added Zazz.
Yeah, you have to have some Zazz, and then you have to have, like, some chill-out moments, too.
I don't know. So you're talking about games that, one, I haven't played, and two, like, I lost my desire to play them after the first or second game.
But
like,
surely you can relate this to other types of games you enjoy and understand what I'm talking about.
I guess. Like, I got so sick of the flying games, though, that...
It's like in Kameo, right? That scene with, like, 500 of those enemies, right?
Kameo? Okay.
Cameo. Right, whatever. Okay, do that once just to show off that you can flex your technological muscle. Fine, that's great, right? But if you had that all the time in that game with, like, enemies coming after you... That would be crazy.
That's a fine example. That would suck.
That would absolutely suck.
Cameo, by the way, very good game.
Yeah, you like it a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I did. So we only got a few more seconds here before the end of this here segment. I have something I want to talk about when we come back. If you've got a story about getting screwed over by Xbox Live or Microsoft with respect to Xbox Live, give us a call at 866-536-1100. I'm going to tell a little story that relates to my good friend Johnny, who I've mentioned several times on the show because he's my roommate, plays games a lot. One of their best customers got totally screwed. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I am Alon.
Now, we were going to go on to our next subject, but we've gotten a caller from Prescott, of all places.
Is he going to talk about Xbox Live stuff, or is it something else?
It's something else.
All right, well, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's happening?
Yeah, sorry, this is kind of off topic. First, let me start out by giving a shout-out to Alex, the only other person I know who listens to the show.
Well, do we allow shout-outs on this show?
We allow shout-outs, but only if you're saying them to your entire high school class, since they all listen to this show. Duh.
Well, he's the only person I know of.
You clearly go to a very small school. Otherwise,
yeah,
everyone would know.
At an online school, so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that explains it.
Do they have real schools in Prescott as well?
Yes, they do.
Kind of, like, small.
Oh, excuse me, Prescott.
Okay. So moving right along, what is it that we can do for you before I go to whine and bitch about Microsoft?
Well, I was wondering, the name Chatterbox, did that come from the radio station Chatterbox FM from Grand Theft Auto 3?
Why, no, sir. It does not. Chatterbox Video Game Radio is completely independent of the Grand Theft Auto franchise and Take-Two Studios.
I know that, but I mean, was it just paying homage, is what I was thinking.
What I can tell you legally is that Chatterbox is completely independent of Take-Two, and that it is in no way related or affiliated with Grand Theft Auto in any way. I think it says that somewhere on our website, doesn't it? It did somewhere once. Listen, coincidences like this happen all the time, and I have no idea why me and the original host, Don, would have come up with that. Just happened to be the same as that other very popular video game that every single person in the world has heard of.
Right. I guess I'll just take your word for it.
Oh, yeah, no, certainly. That's what you should totally do. Don't talk to anyone else about it, period, ever.
Well, thanks, guys. I'll call back another time.
Hey, anything else you want to talk about now? I mean,
we'd love to talk about anything that has nothing to do with Chatterbox, the word.
You guys kind of have a weird taste in video games, I have to say.
That would be me, actually.
I was going to say that's completely just Ara.
I don't know. I heard once that you guys aren't big fans of Grand Theft Auto anyway.
I got to tell you, the commercials I've been seeing for Grand Theft Auto 4, they make me want to play it. And I don't know if this is just because the advertisers are doing their job or because I haven't actually played through an entire Grand Theft Auto game ever.
And I don't watch TV, by the way.
Yeah, you don't. But the new one, I mean, it's sparking a new interest in the game for me. I don't know why. I really honestly don't know why. Grand Theft Auto 3 and the whole, you know, all that whole series got kind of boring after a while. It had a lot of interesting elements, and I like what they did with the open environment. But in general, the game got, you know, maybe it got too difficult for me to the point that I didn't feel like going along with the story, and I just drove around.
Yeah.
And that was cool, but like, there's only so long I want to just drive around.
Want to get me started on Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're a big fan of the Grand Theft Auto series. Is that right?
Yeah, very big fan. Yeah. I'm just counting off the days on my calendar too.
I was going to say you're holding your breath for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. It seems like it's got enough in it that I actually want to bother playing this next iteration. I don't know if I'm actually going to go ahead and buy it. Like, maybe just out of principle. I don't know. Although at this point, I'd rather support Take-Two than EA.
Wait, I have a question for our caller. Are you like playing like the first three like in sequence in preparation for this?
No, actually. I would be, but I don't know what happened to my copies of Grand Theft Auto 3 and Vice City. They just disappeared like a year ago.
Well, then what you should do is go pick up Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2.
What?
Go pick up Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 and see where it all came from.
One more time, sorry.
Go get Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. No, I've played them both.
Okay.
Clearly this is evidence that Grand Theft Auto leads to nothing but crime.
All right, listen, thank you for the call. I'm going to get to my rant, which is on a very different subject. I appreciate it, though. Before, of course, I do that, I have to remind everyone to go to uat.edu, the website, for the University of Advancing Technology.
You can learn how to make your own GTA clone.
Yes, you can. Or even an original property that you develop while at the school.
That's only tangentially related to GTA.
Dude, there's not a lot of games that are like Grand Theft Auto, right? There's only, what, clone after clone after clone that none of us have played?
Saints Row.
One of our favorites from THQ.
Whatever game from whatever rapper, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so what I was going to talk about, what I led into prior to the break, was that my roommate had this issue recently. Really bugged me to hear the story. I only found out about this weekend because he came home from the store with 1,600 Microsoft Xbox Live Marketplace points, or whatever the hell they call them, Marketplace points, right, which he had paid to have. And I recalled to myself and to him, I said, wait a minute, didn't you get 5,000 free points from Microsoft because they totally screwed you with Call of Duty 4? And he said, why, yes. Yes, I did, Alon. However, apparently they mysteriously expired and no one can explain to me how they were ever given to me in the first place. So here's the story. I'll try to be quick about it because I know we only have a minute left, right, Norm?
That's an affirmative.
Is he not even at the desk?
It's great. He's in stealth mode right now.
Okay, cool. So anyway, so my friend John, who was going by the gamer tag Johnny5Alive at the time that this all happened, really what happened was he used to have some variation of the word gladiator, you know, with numbers,
right,
whatever.
Right, I remember that one.
And with that particular gamer tag, he'd used it forever. He had a lot of gamer score, which he holds near and dear to his heart, although I know you don't.
No, but I do hold my save files and my...
Your downloaded maps and all the stuff that you can access.
Yeah, I do hold that dear to my heart, indeed.
Yeah, so he had an entity on Xbox Live, and when he got Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty 4, right... Everyone wants to play online with other people, and he has whole group of people he wants to play with. But every time he would join a room, he would join the room just fine, could chat with people just fine, and as soon as the game would start, he would get kicked out of the game, couldn't play. And apparently this is a problem a lot of people were having. And he called Microsoft. They couldn't solve the problem. They couldn't figure out, oh, your stuff's been escalated. This issue's been escalated. It's getting looked at. Sorry, we don't have a solution yet. He calls back. It's been escalated. Sorry, we don't know what the problem is. It's still happening.
And you got to escalate a lot when you take to Microsoft.
Yeah. It's been escalated. Don't worry. We're looking into it. We don't know what the issue is. So for days, he wants to play this game. He's been waiting for months for it. Finally, it comes out and he can't even play. So he's like, you know what? Other people are having problems. My friend, you know, me, living in the same house, he can play. He can play on the same machine using the same internet connection, but with his gamer tag. So clearly, if he just starts a whole new gamer tag, just a new Xbox Live account,
right,
then he'll be able to play the game online. So he does, and we all know that Xbox Live accounts are not cheap when normal people pay for them by the year like we do. They're $60 or 50, whatever they are, 50 or $60. And so he reports this to Microsoft and said, listen, I can't play. I'm just going to get a new gamer tag. And they're like, all right, if that's the solution, if that works for you, you know, we're sorry that we weren't able to solve this for you. We're sorry that our stuff is broken and you can't use our service that you paid for. So... here's 5,000 gamer points, and we'll let you... Well, he didn't have to change his gamer tag because he actually started a whole new account. So he started this new account from whatever variation of Gladiator he had to Johnny5Alive. Although it's a stupid name, whatever. It still got him to be able to play this game. And they gave him 5,000 marketplace points for it. And I thought, okay, it sucks that you had to do that. It sucks that you lost all your other stuff. But hey... they at least gave you the points back, so you can buy the maps that you had in other games and buy the other games that you had so you can play them again.
And maybe a few extra, right?
Yeah, no, and certainly. But, I mean, the point, he paid $60 for his live account. So to get 5,000 points, I mean, that's $60 or $62.50.
Yeah, maybe they should have given him more.
It's a pretty even break, you know, although he probably had used half the year that he already... the point is, they gave him the points. I find out this weekend they mysteriously expired out of nowhere. He calls them up. They're like, yeah, that ticket that you had in before, it was never even escalated. We don't know what the issue was. That guy who you talked to before who helped you out, he doesn't even work here anymore. And if we found out someone was just handing out points like that, they'd be fired on the spot. They're not allowed to do that. So all this just lip service. And
that sounds utterly infuriating.
Yeah. And you know how many points he had used out of those 5,000?
None.
I don't know not none, because I know he like rented a movie few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But very few.
Yeah.
Right. Because he didn't have anything to buy. Like, he doesn't buy live arcade games because he plays Call of Duty, you know.
Right.
But he wanted to buy the maps that just came out, which I don't know how much they are. they're not 5,000 points, but the point is, they just mysteriously disappeared, and I'm very pissed off about this. So
your pissed off is making me pissed off.
I was hoping that I would talk about it on the show a little bit. Maybe the right person will hear it. Who knows?
Bill Gates. Bill,
but like,
come on, if you're listening.
I told John, I was like, write a letter,
show
and then I will
love.
Send it on your behalf. Right?
Just yes.
to, but he's lazy. He's like, oh, no, not a big deal. Whatever. Don't worry about it. And anyway, we'll be back after the break, kids.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon.
And Aura. And no Rich. I just noticed Rich isn't here.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. He doesn't even call me anymore.
He's
like,
been
so,
gone so long, it took me a half an hour to figure it out.
Several weeks in a row. I don't know what he's doing. I have no idea.
I'm very disappointed in him.
I've got this whole three-strike rule. I don't even know how many weeks it's been.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe we can have another intern. Maybe we should put out a open call for Chatterbox interns.
Maybe. Really, all you got to do is walk up to the studio. We'll let you in. Right?
I will.
All right. Well, you can also be part of the show by calling 866-536-1100. We've got half a show left. Now, as we said before, plenty to talk about this week. Ari's got this whole litany of things in front of him, so please.
All right. So here's another thing that it's not really a complaint, actually, but...
Was I done complaining about my Microsoft stuff?
I don't think you were. Would you? Do you want to continue that?
I mean, I've pretty much settled down during the break. That's,
yeah.
It just pissed me off.
Well, what happened? I mean, is it, like, resolved, or he's just totally screwed right
he
now?
He resolves it by being passive, you know? It's just, okay, fine.
That's no good.
He bought the points.
The world does not wait for passive individuals.
Like I said, he called them, and they have no real explanation. They just know they're not going to help him. I thought, well, you know it's your fault. Someone on the forum on our show says that apparently they expire, and I'm like, well, I know they expire now.
Yeah.
Now after they gave
him... telling me after they did,
yeah,
right?
They gave them to him, you know, to make it easier for him to swallow the fact that he had to buy a whole year of,
yeah,
of their service again just to play the game that he was supposed to be able to play anyway.
Yeah.
And they should never expire.
Yes, once again, goes to show the world of Xbox Live is a mysterious and ever-changing labyrinth where nothing is as... Yeah,
the simple fact that they have a system of giving free points away if you have to switch Xboxes...
That they deny.
Well, pisses me off because... The whole we've talked about the unloadable content, and I talked about this when the Xbox was first coming out, and this is something I said I wanted to talk about during this show, too, that EA is now charging for, or they plan in the new Battlefield game, to allow people to buy new weapons and stuff with, you know, downloadable content. You pay a couple dollars,
oh,
I think it's
yes.
$2 each, right?
Yes, yes.
And so it's just, oh, it really bugs me. Like, I shouldn't, if I buy it, I shouldn't have to buy it again if I switch machines. One, I'm mad because I shouldn't even be able to buy a gun for $2. That's a whole, it's a really separate argument. I shouldn't be mixing the two. But,
yeah, well, we were going to talk about this anyway. Why don't we just start talking about this?
Let's do it. So, EA, apparently, if you haven't heard, is going to allow a bunch of microtransacting in the Battlefield game. And I suspect if it goes well in lots of other games as well. And
they will sell anything that they can. Period.
Already sold their souls. They've got nothing left.
Regardless of whether it's a good design or a bad design. They don't design games. They're not in the business of designing games. They're in the business of making money, and these things that they call video games are just a vehicle to that end.
Every business, every company is here to make money, but I would like to think that they had some rules in place that you're not going to allow yourself to make a bad game.
There's matters of degrees, you know? It's not like, okay, well, I mean, I like to put it this way, right? You know, we who choose to get into the video game industry and be a part of it do so not to make money primarily, but it's because something we love to do, right? There's a lot better ways to make money. So if that's true, and if people get into the games business largely because they love games, then wouldn't it make sense that you have some restrictions in terms of what will I do, what ends will I go to sell profit over other things?
Well, that's a corporate decision. That's what's bad about it, that it gets so big that the people who don't make the games are the ones making the decisions about certain aspects of it. Like, to the designers, we want you to put in microtransactions. So here's the thing. said long time ago, and people were defending it, saying, I was saying, we don't want to allow this sort of downloadable content stuff because it's just going to turn into something bad. Like, they're going to be able to sell me a level that they knew they built ahead of time that they could have had in the real game, but they specifically withheld it so that I would then buy it separately. And this is the prime example.
That's just not, that's worst not even case the worst scenario. Thing, right? That's not even as bad as things like selling weapons. Like, if you sell all your weapons, right? If you're just literally selling things for cash, right? Like, parts of the game, not just like a level, but like functional things. I mean, that completely, unless you do it in a very, very measured, colorful
supposedly,
way.
Supposedly, this won't break the balance of the game.
It just destroys the whole
But if
design.
It doesn't, then all they're doing is changing some graphical elements. And that's who the hell would want to pay $2 for it anyway?
That's the thing. It's one of two things. You're right. It's either going to destroy the design, or it's going to make no appreciable, functional effect, right? And if it's the latter, like you're saying, then it's
idiots
even worse.
Will buy it,
right?
But I hate seeing this. Why put something in the game? Why make me pay for it when it could be in the game to begin with? Clearly, it's there, right? They know they're going to do it before it ever even comes out. It's not a matter of, like, with Halo, they make the stuff and then they make extra maps on top of what was already a very complete game. They're very knowingly shipping you half a game and saying, all right, buy these extra weapons to make it complete, or vehicles, or whatever the hell it is. I don't know the full extent of this, but I know at least it's with some weapons, and it's silly. And there are other games where you can microtransact, like, clothing and stuff, and that's dumb too, but at least nobody cares about them.
I'm really curious, actually, and I don't know if any company would ever admittedly release some real statistics on this, but, like, how much are people buying this stuff, right? Nobody knows. There's no public information about that. Things like, you know, downloading a wallpaper on cell phones and, you know, the horse armor or whatever, or downloading this and that in games. I mean, nobody knows how much money people are making off of this, do we? Do we know this? Do we have an idea?
Well,
is this working? Is this a trend? Is this profitable?
In the cell phone market, it is. And that's one of the things years and years ago, I think Phil Harrison, it wasn't Phil Harrison, it was the other bald guy from Microsoft. Whatever his
Jay
name
Allard.
Is. Yeah. He gave this speech before Xbox Live Marketplace was put up for Xbox 360. He was referring to it, what it would be like. And he referred to it, and I've said it several times in the show, cell phone-like profits, or cell phone-like something, right?
Right.
Because they made so many billions of dollars or whatever selling ringtones. And that's essentially what they've done. I mean, you can buy backgrounds or themes for your Xbox 360 and stuff that's completely
before
meaningless.
Before you get to see what they look like, I might add.
Yeah, gamer pictures are that way.
Which is crazy.
But you can go on Microsoft's website and see them, but at least most of the stuff, I think. Anyway, the microtransactions for these games that are incomplete, it's just the worst example of what you can do. And, I mean, I certainly have the option of steering clear of EA's games that do this, and I will.
You know what this is? This is still exploratory territory, and what they're doing is they're playing the game called...
They explored it with the horse armor. Everyone hated it, and they didn't do it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, EA is trying to push it farther, right? They're basically trying to play the game called, how much can we F around with our customers? How big a chump are they? And that's the reason why, personally, I take very, very careful look at anything that I want to buy that's like a microtransaction thing. Because even though it's like... You know, whatever. I mean, it's like, whatever, $2, $3 here, 25 cents. I don't care.
Well, that's what makes it so possible and so fruitful, because Microsoft made sure that nobody cares about their money.
But I care about them effing me over. So
you're thinking long term.
So I'm going to try not buy any of that stuff if I can. And that's what I encourage other people to do. Otherwise, they're going to try and turn your games into something where you're going to be paying every 10 seconds.
Yeah, well,
if they can get away with it, that's what they'll do.
I'll buy a whole game, like a live arcade game, although I prefer not to. I'd rather buy it on a disc. But like Catan, I really like, and I bought that. And, you know, I'm happy. I play it a lot. That's cool. But it bugs me because if my system ever red rings or whatever, I'll have to be connected to the internet if I want to play it. And that's really frustrating. So the whole scene just bothers me. I don't like downloadable content. I might like the content itself, but I don't like the infrastructure behind it. And
it's just weird. It's a very tenuous thing. It's like not really.
You remember when they were saying, like, Need for Speed, you could spend like $100 on the game if you bought all the stuff? I think it was Need for Speed. EA has a tendency to do this, and Microsoft did such a good job of making the points meaningless, forcing you to buy them in large chunks. and then blaming credit card transaction fees and all. They just did a lot of things to make it very easy to spend your money, which is a great business move.
Yeah. In some cases, it's all right. Like songs for Rock Band, no problem buying that. You know, doesn't affect the rest of the game. It's this extra thing. I like this song. Okay, I'll buy it. That's how they should use it. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I agree with you. Their problem is that they're misusing it. I don't blame Microsoft for making me not care about the money. I blame the companies for making stupid crap and not releasing their full games. All right.
Yeah, we'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox, video game radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And it's our final 10-ish minutes of the show.
So, before we start, we remind everybody about UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technologies website, where you can go to learn more about the school and the programs that they offer, how you can get into the industry by becoming a programmer or an artist or all that good stuff.
And hopefully make something that's absolutely nothing to do with GTA.
That would be nice.
Yes. And if you want to call in, we always love to hear your calls, 866-536-1100.
You know, you can also be part of our live chat during it. And we actually have somebody from, is it Scotland, who's in the chat right now?
Yes, we have a very dedicated Scottish listener. His name's Paul. And since we had shout-outs before, I just feel compelled to give another shout-out because it's how early is it over there, Paul? It's like 5:30 a.m. over there in Scotland. He's listening to us live.
That's cool. I think that's we've gotten emails from people all over the world.
That's right. We're truly a global show now.
This is, in about 50 seconds, he might actually hear you since there's a delay.
That's right.
On the internet stream. Anyway, thank you for listening, and of course to all the other listeners. All right, so I got to whine about Xbox. We were whining about EA. But really, you had a couple other things that we delayed a little bit.
Yeah, let's go back to what I was going to talk about before. This is a little snippet. The studio that made Sega Rally Revo has shut down. I'm kind of ambivalent about this because on the one hand, I really hate to see studios shut down and people lose their jobs.
I've never seen Sega Rally Revo.
Yeah, it's crap. On the other hand, it's crap.
I've seen Sega Rally and Sega Rally 2.
Sega Rally, awesome. Sega Rally 2, still awesome.
They were both made by Tetsuya Mizuguchi.
They were, was it him?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure. Anyway, right? The Sega Rally games had like this spirit to them, right? They had this essence, this soul. And unfortunately, the Sega Rally Revo, which apparently, and I really hate to put it this crudely, but I'm just going to, was developed by, I guess, the only talent that in the UK they could pull away from like Rockstar and Criterion and Codemasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game is crap. No soul whatsoever. It's just, it's hard to like describe or like really like verbally encapsulate something like this. But if you play.
It's hard for me to see soul in racing games, period. You're a racing game enthusiast.
Yes.
So it's a different story.
Yes. It was just. Sega Rally Revo just sucked so bad. It was just so boring. I really wish that I could articulate it much better than I'm doing right now. But it was just horrible. And.
Was there a reason it was bad? Like, should I care that you say it was bad? Because I don't understand it at this point.
Well,
I honestly didn't think Sega Rally was that good.
Sega, I mean, there was a cadence to Sega Rally. There was a rhythm to it, right? Because you had like three different stages, and you'd go from one stage to the other, and you basically started out in the back of the pack, right? There's like 40 opponents, and you started out in the back, or 30, or whatever. And every stage, right, you tried to weave your way forward as much as possible. So there was this kind of like continuity between levels. And, you know, Sega Rally is all about really it's point-to-point races mostly. I mean, that's a rally in general, right? So what they did in Sega Rally Revo, at least in the beginning stages, is that they're all like circuit races, which is tremendously boring, right? And it didn't have that kind of like rhythm of you like working your way through the pack between from stage to stage to stage. That was just gone. Besides all that, just the handling was just absolutely horrendous. It just felt like it was steering for you half the time. Anyway, I've said enough about that. I just wanted to mention that one.
Can I tell you that the people in the chat are now having the most inane conversation about global time.
Isn't that, like, isn't inane and IRC go hand in hand?
I guess that's true.
No offense to our wonderful chatters, but...
But that would mean that people are up. If we had world time, then half the people would be up at night.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. So the last thing I wanted to talk about, since we were kind of on this topic anyway, was there's a really cool article on Gamma Sutra written by this guy named Bill Fulton, who is... What is he? He's like, he's one of the designers, or anyway, he works for Microsoft and he worked on Shadowrun and he wrote this thing about fixing online.
The original Shadowrun or the new one?
No, the new one. The new one, of course. Fixing online gaming idiocy. Now, you all have seen that famous Penny Arcade comic about how regular guy plus anonymity plus an audience turns into something I can't see on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, it was just a really, really cool investigation into why this happens and what they do to combat it. And the thing that really resonated with me was that for the first time I've actually heard somebody from Microsoft admitting that the online behavior of our customers is dramatically reducing our sales. And I'm so glad to hear that.
Reducing their sales?
Yes, they're actually telling people that people are such a-holes online that it's keeping other people from participating in a way that's actually making a fiscal impact on what they're trying to do as a business.
That really surprised me that they would say it loses sales. I mean, it makes sense.
It does make sense, right? And the thing that I noticed is, you know, I don't play a huge amount of online games, but I've played a lot of games that were basically offline that have online versions. And unfortunately, what they do is that they just do like really like the modicum of online functionality to get it going, right? And the kind of approach that Bill Fulton is, I guess, espousing is that, you know, you don't just, if you just kind of like implement what you have to work online, then you don't take care of everything you need to take care of to design the game right, because all of these social things come out in your online game. Like, for example, you know, you can decide to kick players who are misbehaving, right, in a lot of games. Well, normally what happens is, you know, people get into, like, so there's a guy who's like griefing everybody and tries to kick players, like, you know, in the voting system, like, oh, I want to kick this guy, right? And he's like interrupting people's experiences, or like people get into feuds about trying to kick each other off, right? And so these kinds of things kind of like naturally come up, and a lot of games seem to kind of like ignore that these issues exist. So I'm really happy that not only does he admit that these things exist and that they're really serious, but he actually has ways to deal with them, at least in the context of the game that he worked on.
I've just never heard it from a game design standpoint. Like, we know that they understand this is an issue because they built into the interface for Xbox Live, or just for the Xbox itself, like for leaving reputation information about people and all that stuff.
That stuff is horrible. Like, I would say that's a bad design and implementation.
I don't think it's horrible. I think it's an important thing to have, but it's not part of the game design itself.
Right. Well, the thing is it doesn't keep people from basically being idiots online. And so he's kind of espousing design methods to kind of curtail or control the amount of idiocy that happens online.
So what ideas does he have?
So here's a couple of cool things, right? So in Shadowrun normally, or I guess, you know, in other games normally, you can call votes to kick people off, right? So they noticed that some of the other things I just mentioned happened. So one thing that they did to kind of remedy this, right, is they made calling a vote a risky behavior. So they added a third choice, right? Normally the choice is, do you want to kick this guy or do you not want to kick this guy in the vote, right? So you had the third choice is kick the guy who caused the poll. So now you have an incentive to not poll someone to get kicked unless you really, really feel like he deserves to be that way, because by calling a poll, you're risking getting kicked yourself.
That's interesting.
That I thought that was super cool. Another thing is that they also designed the system so that it realized when players tried to feud against each other. So they, when one guy called a poll against, you know, person B, and person B calls a poll against person A again, the system recognizes the state and it considers it a feuding state. And so when that happens, normally if they didn't do this implementation, well, what happened was, well, nobody would get kicked because nobody cares. People are trying to play the game and they're noticing that two people are feuding, trying to get votes to kick each other off, and there's not people participating except for the two feuding people.
It still bugs me that this exists at all.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, I think that this is just really the infancy of designing online interactions in games, and I think we're still trying to figure out, like, what works, you know? Because the thing is, a lot of games, even still, a lot of, like, the racing games that you play online, they still don't you have to kind of like observe what people do online long enough and pay attention to it before you realize, oh, this is a problem. Recognize it first, right? And then, oh, you know, what can we do? What design can we change to kind of like control this? And how does that affect the game? So I think this is really like on the total bleeding edge of design in terms of like what happens socially among people.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's so much time removing yourself from the game experience. I can't imagine being one of those people who's getting into the feud. It would just be a waste of my
time.
Well,
that's another thing, right? But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So one thing we didn't mention is that apparently there was this video game bill in Arizona. Of course, we're in Arizona. That just got overturned, and it had some interesting implications and ideas, and I kind of wanted to talk about that, but we didn't get to it. Maybe we'll touch on it next week if I remember, although you know me, I probably won't. But anyway,
we'll talk about something completely different, I'm sure.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Feel free to go to chatterboxgameshow.com and email us if you have any questions or comments about the show. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.